to the Solomon Tichin Podcast. So excited to continue these stories. So I have with me today Dr. Juliet Nelson. How you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So where are you located?
I am located in Maryland. The DMV area.
Okay, dope. So what's your story?
What's my story? It actually occurred 10 years ago, where I flew halfway across the world to find myself. While my reasoning was not to find myself, but doing so is what kind of sparked the redefinition of who I was. And that was the journey that led me to really understanding my purpose and being intentional about walking in my purpose. So,
yeah, you went across the world to find yourself.
Halfway across the world, yeah.
Where'd you go?
South Korea.
Yeah. Wow. What made you choose South Korea?
So I'd been taking college classes since I was in high school. And so, you know, I got through college and toward the end, I got an opportunity to go and be an English teacher. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to have, you know, a bachelor's or master's in education or anything like that. And I figured that would be a nice break before I go to what I thought was going to be law school. Yeah. And so, that's kind of what led me there. You know, I grew up in the small town in New York. So it's like, what is this little Haitian kid doing going halfway across the world to Korea? Mm-hmm. A lot of Haitians don't even, at least in my community, it was like, what's that? Where's that? You know, it was to us, it was like this land far away. But that's kind of how Korea became the choice.
Yeah.
I think it chose me. I didn't really choose Korea.
So, you know, what made you decide that, like what happened to make you decide that I got to go find myself and I have to leave to go find myself too? Like what
right. How'd that happen? Right. So it wasn't necessarily that I needed to go find myself. I think I was just tired. Right. Yeah. It was just going.
Yeah.
And I just needed a break. Yeah. I'd been working, through high school all the way through college. I was a children's choir director. So there was just so much that I'd been juggling.
Yeah.
And at that age, I mean, I was going on, I think 20, 21, graduating from college. So I just needed a break from so much of the hustle and bustle. I needed new scenery. If I'm being honest, I didn't really make the decision to leave or really not even make the decision to leave. I don't think it was really a decision. It was like, oh, I'm going to give this a shot. But I don't know that my parents took me seriously. And as a result, I didn't take myself seriously.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't real for me until the plane's like flying over Japan. And I can't ask the pilot to turn back.
Yeah.
And I'm like sobbing on the plane, like, oh my gosh, this is real. This is happening.
Yeah.
But I think that really was what it was. I just wanted a change in scenery. I needed to try something new.
Yeah.
I didn't want to jump right into law school. I was also, and I don't mention this much, but I think I was a bit intimidated as well at the fact that a lot of my peers, you know, they had job offers going right out of college. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have that. You know, that was, I don't know that I was exposed to as many of those opportunities.
Yeah.
From my recollection. So I think Korea kind of became that, South Korea to be specific, became kind of that escape. So it wasn't really the focus on, I need to go find myself. It was really like, I just need a break from all of this yeah. stuff.
This stuff. Yeah.
And I think when I got there, that's where I was like, oh my goodness, you know, and also for context, this is my first time living outside of my parents' house. I did not leave for college. I didn't go away for college. So I didn't get that experience of stepping outside of my parents' house and kind of being able to make my own decisions, see my own things, create my own values, things like that. You know, I was still heavily embedded in my church community.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, a lot of my family was in New York. And so, yeah, this is my first time living alone. This is my first time having a roommate outside of my parents. And I mean, I'm technically their roommate, not the opposite.
Yeah.
But that was my first time being outside of my parents' home. So this is where I'm really in this position to see the world almost objectively, right? And now I have to ask myself, whatever I grew up with, whatever I learned growing up in the church, growing up, you know, culturally, right, from Haitian culture, yeah, from my parents and so on and so forth, what am I accepting as truth? And what am I kind of saying, oh, I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it started in South Korea. And that's also where I really discovered perhaps how I meant to step out into this world. I think, you know, at that young age, all of us are trying to find ourselves, right? Yeah. And how we express ourselves. And we're constantly picked on and told, you know, you're supposed to look a certain way, or you're supposed to speak a certain way, you're supposed to dress a certain way. And now I'm in like a land where I don't have really that much of that expectation. I'm a foreigner, right? Yeah. So no matter how I dress or what I look like, they're still going to look at me like I'm exotic. Yeah. So that was really my opportunity to be like, okay, Juliet, who are you? And how do you want to define yourself? And what's that going to look like? And it's an ongoing journey even till today.
But
I think that's where it started.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Dr. Nelson, so much to unpack there. So I want to go back. You talked about how part of it was seeing your peers progress at a different level that you weren't there yet. And I think a lot of us millennials, we struggle with that comparison, right?
Yeah.
How was that for you? Like, did you ever say, man, well, maybe I didn't do something right because they're progressing, right, or maybe it's me? Like, did you ever find yourself questioning that, or was it always just a, you know, like what was that for you?
So I'll say this, and it might sound contradicting. I've grown up constantly being referred to as stubborn, where someone will say A and I'm more than likely to do B. And as I've become, as I've grown up into my adulthood, I realized that it wasn't stubbornness, and it's not. It's very much, and I need to really look at all of my alternatives, and I need to make the decision that I believe is best for me at that time. And it may not always be the best decision, but I realize that it's easier for me to take more accountability and responsibility for the things that I do when I'm able to make my own decisions. Yeah. So now, rewind back to college, where everybody has job offers and so on and so forth. The only thing that's going for me is, yes, I was a smart kid. I had decent grades, you know, graduating from college, because that's when, you know, learning gets real and hard.
Yeah,
but the thing that I did have going for me is because I was going to be the family lawyer, right? So that's what everyone's leaning on. But again, when you're sitting in this reality where you hear people who are like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, it's kind of like, oh, but, you know, yeah, I'm going to law school, but I don't have something that's set in stone.
Yeah.
So a part of me, it's not that I felt pressured, but I did kind of feel, and I don't want to say like, I don't know, I didn't know what to do with those feelings, if that made sense, because I'm still trying to process going out into the real world, as they called it. Yeah. Right. But I knew that they had something, my peers, and I went to a predominantly white school, college. My peers had things that more than likely I didn't have lined up.
Yeah.
So I think that was that, so having to balance me just wanting to do what I want, but also the slight pressure that I have to have something. Again, I have to look like something and I have to be like something.
Yeah.
It sometimes is a challenging balance.
Yeah.
I think, again, going to South Korea kind of freed me from that.
Yeah.
Because I will tell you, I had a lot of naysayers. You know, eventually going to South Korea became the thing I had going, the thing that I had lined up. Yeah. But even then, you know, you come from this small town, you come from this small circle and this community. And, any child of the diaspora, if I'm saying it correctly, mm-hmm. you know, usually, especially as a female, you stay in your parents' house until you're ready to get married.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you no boys, no boyfriends, none of that until you're like 25. And then all of a sudden, when are you getting married? But you stay in your parents' house until you're ready to get married. And that's when you leave.
Yeah.
Versus me, it's like, I'm leaving with no husband lined up. This is just a job opportunity. And I'm going to what they might consider nowhere's land. So there was also that pressure of, why is Mr. and Mrs. Nelson sending their only child, their only daughter at that, halfway across the world? And, you know, there's that pressure of you're doing the wrong thing. You're doing the wrong thing. So again, I'm having to balance what I want to do, what everybody has lined up, and then everybody telling me whatever you're trying to do is wrong, mm-hmm. right? And I remember someone telling me, you know, when you're sitting with your kids and your grandkids and they say, hey, mom, grandma, great grandma, what's the craziest thing you've ever done? Or what's the, mm-hmm. you know, the wildest thing you've ever done? Are you going to tell them, oh, well, I thought of going to South Korea, but I decided against it.
Yeah.
Or are you going to be like, yeah, I did it and I regret it, but here I am. You know what I mean? So I think that was kind of like an encouragement of like, you know what? You still don't know what you're doing and when you're doing it or whatever, but sure, go. So that's kind of how I balanced it. And now, I mean, I've learned to trust myself in a sense, even if I don't know what I'm doing, you know, it can be frustrating, but I lean on the hope that, you know, it's going to come together some way, somehow.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for my parents because they often don't know what I'm doing either. And they ask questions and I can hear the doubt, but they will always remain supportive. Yeah. You know, you can't tell them that they don't support their child.
Hey,
they will always remain supportive. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say there came a point, now I live in Maryland away from my parents and they still live in New York, but same when I accepted a job to work for the government. My parents had paid, my parents had paid like a $3,500 ticket for me to go on a tour of Israel and Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And I got a job offer to work for the United States Postal Service headquarters. And they said, you have 2 weeks to pack your bags. And that was the 2 weeks that would allow me to go on this trip.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you not push it back? They're like, listen, this is a program that we're bringing you into. Yeah. This is your one opportunity. Otherwise you have to apply all over again. And there's no guarantee that you'll get preference.
Yeah.
So I told my parents, I said, let me tell you something. I am so sorry, but I will find a way to book you a month trip around Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Some way, somehow, but this is, you know, but it was another way of me taking on this wild decision, packing up my bag my entire life and literally just coming with the clothes on my back and a basket of clothes of laundry and moving to the DMV area, living out of an Airbnb until I could find my way. But, you know, even then, my father, I remember my father coming to my new apartment with my mother and them seeing like, she's actually taking care of herself. And I remember my father shaking my hand and saying, I never know what you're doing, but I do want to shake your, I do want to shake your hand out of respect and tell you that you did know what you were doing.
Wow.
So it was him acknowledging like, I am proud of you. And even when I have no clue what you're doing, you managed to figure it out.
Right. No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so my question is to those millennials that are watching, that they hear your story and the things that you've had to come through and how you've been able to really step out in a lot of different ways, but they're struggling to find purpose, right? What would you say to them to help them along that journey?
Struggling to find purpose. I would say stop trying to find yourself in people. Social media puts too much pressure on us to be and look a certain way. Do not try to find yourself in someone. You are unique. And no path technically is linear. That's the reality.
Yeah.
You're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through happy and sad times and so on and so forth. And as you go through those experiences, as you try to process, right? In those, why is this happening to me questions, also ask yourself, how does this position myself to make the world a better, how does this position me to make the world a better place? And I think that that is what, you know, will help you find your purpose. I know for myself in South Korea, I was given the Korean name, Nanuri, which is a derivative of the Korean verb to share. And I was given that name with the commission to share my gift wherever I go.
Yeah.
And so with the first name, Nuri, you might notice that my companies have the name Nuri in them. And that's my reminder to myself that my purpose on this earth is to share my triumph, my pain, my struggles, my failures, all of that in some way, even if it's in the smallest way, to be, to contribute to making the world around me a better place by doing that. And so that's what I pass on to other people. You know, we are under, especially millennials, right? We've gone through, I feel like our generation, and this is not to remove from other people's experiences, but I think our generation, millennials, we've gone through so much and we've seen so much, you know, and, you know, speaking to people who have even lived through Martin Luther King's time, right? You look at them and you're like, oh my goodness, like, you looking at the world as it is today compared to what it was like when you were growing up and there were marches and so on and so forth. That's going to end up being us someday.
Yeah.
And we can't constantly try to see the world through everybody else's eyes. We have to, at some point, be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm living in my parents' basement, or I have a room in their home. But listen, if this is allowing me to be one more step toward financial freedom, that's okay. You know, I don't have to be a homeowner at this point. I don't have to be a business owner. I don't have to live my life the way everybody else is. If I want to work my 9 to 5 and rack up my little retirement and pension,
that
is very much okay. And if it is part of my purpose to start a business, then go ahead. And if you get to a point where it's like, listen, this business is too much, you can be brave enough to choose your sanity and your mental health and step away from it. So that's really what I would pass on to fellow millennials, Generation Z, Generation X, you know, even our baby boomer parents, you know, don't try to live life through everybody else's lens, through everybody else's world. Do it the way you have to do it. I mean, I graduated 4 years out of college, and I had a lot of my peers look at me like, oh my gosh, you're so lucky. I'm here for 6 years and so on and so forth. But those peers graduated and landed exactly where they needed to be. I had to work a couple of jobs, and actually it took me about 10 years to find a niche. And even now I'm still like, where do I really want to land? Right. And so again, I'm able to do that because I don't care to live my life through everybody's lens and everybody's eyes. And I'm not saying that it's difficult, right? I do deal with the pressure, and I constantly have to have these conversations with me. And I do deal with the insecurity, right? That some people are in places that I'm not in. But again,
you know,
that's what I would say.
No, that's good. That's gems everywhere. And so as we close down this interview, and I thank you for sharing your story and dropping so many gems there for all of us to learn. How can we connect with you? You know, give us a brief blurb about what you have going on. And we want to definitely provide those links in the description of this episode.
Right. So what do I have going on? I have a lot and nothing at the same time. You can follow me. You can visit my website and follow me on Instagram, JulietNuriNelson.com. And it's my understanding you're going to plug the link in. So I'm not going to, I'm going to, for the first time, not spell out my name and everything. But it's JulietNuriNelson.com. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, at JulietNuriNelson. You can find me on LinkedIn, Juliet Nelson. And you can learn about all the different things that I'm doing. I am a published author. Sharing my lens, the college experience. This is beneficial if you're in high school, if you are in college, if you're contemplating going into college, grad school, and so on and so forth. I do have an eyewear, handcrafted wooden eyewear company. I'm actually wearing one of my pairs now. So you can also find all of that information on my website. And with Junuri, I do offer learning and development services. So whether you are in high school trying to prepare and you need coaching going into college, whether you are in college and grad school doing your doctorate and you kind of need support, you need a coach to kind of talk you through either your thesis or different projects you're working on. If you're a professional trying to transition into a new role, especially if you're trying to transition to another role in the government, I can support you in, you know, that, you know, building your resume and talking through kind of those different career choices. So I would say if you visit Juliet Nuri Nelson, you're kind of going to find everything that you need there.
You got a lot of great stuff going on. Again, we're going to include that description in this video, and much continued success on all of your endeavors.